Welcome to The Sideman Designer. This is a podcast for supporting players, for people in the cast to keep the show running and the band playing, the people who help bring everyone together to deliver their best performance. Welcome to episode 7. We are now 7 weeks in. Honestly, I wasn't sure if I was going to get this far, recording a podcast every single week. It's starting to get a bit of a groove, a bit of a flow, and I'm enjoying it. I'm enjoying it a great deal. If you are listening week on week, I really hope that you're enjoying it as well. If you've shared it on social media, thank you very much. I really appreciate it. You know, if you've listened on iTunes or Spotify or SoundCloud or on my own site, thank you as well. I really appreciate it. I'm going to probably draw a close to a season of podcasts after episode 10. So there's a few more to go. Take a little break over the summer. But for now, episode 7 is where we're at. It's been quite a chock full week this week. I mean, last weekend was an exciting one for me. I was privileged enough to go back to London to see Hamilton, the musical by Lin-Manuel Miranda about Alexander Hamilton, one of America's founding fathers. If you're not aware of it, go check the soundtrack out on Spotify or buy it on CD if that's your thing. It is one of my favourite shows, one of my favourite pieces of music end to end. Some of the songs are absolutely mind-blowing. The whole thing's absolutely mind-blowing. And to be able to go and see it performed by an amazing cast in a beautiful theatre, the Victoria Theatre in London, it's such a privilege. And I really, really enjoyed it. So I think maybe better second time round. I was actually sat further up in the theatre this time. We sat in the stalls the first time we went to see it, and it was great. But being able to sit a bit further up in the theatre and actually see the whole stage and how the cast were interacting with each other and the lights and the sets, everything, it was absolutely stunning. So that was exciting for me this week. It was Glastonbury weekend as well. Another thing that I love it year on year. I've never been. It's never really been a big enough draw for me to go and spend a week in a field, getting sunburnt, trudging around. But the BBC always do great coverage, and I've had the time this week to watch a few sets from there. So Janelle Monáe, Idols, who I absolutely love, and The Cure, obviously, all put on great, great shows. There's still plenty of music to absorb. It's going to be there for a few weeks, so if you're in the UK, or you can access iPlayer from wherever you are, there's some great music out there for you to watch. This week as well, Donald Miller. If you don't know Donald Miller, he is a... I don't want to belittle his efforts, but he's a marketing expert. He's got a company called Storybrand, and he runs a podcast of the same name. And he's got this daily video series called Business Made Simple, where every day he sends you a 2-minute, 3-minute video of a tip to help drive your business forward, one thing that you can focus on for that day. And this week, there's been some great content in there. And one particularly resonant one for me was about adding extra value to a service. And it's not about dropping a price, it's not about adding more stuff, but it's being able to find emotional hooks, social cues, and some philosophical weight that you can add to your narrative to help people find more value in your business. Things that you can add to the story that you are telling them. So that was really good. I would recommend signing up for those if you're interested in driving your own offer forward, your own product, your own business. Even if you're not running your own shop, there's some great content in there that you could draw something from. So Business Made Simple, sign up for the mailing list. Stranger Things was back, 4th of July. We've watched the first episode at home in my house. We're quite excited about Stranger Things. We love all things 80s. I've got a big love for 80s music. I am a child of the 80s, so Stranger Things for me is really, really special. We've watched the first episode of season 3 and absolutely loved it. I wasn't sure at the end of season 2 how they could maybe round it up, amp it up again, but they've really done it. And that's as much as I'm going to say about that. If you've not had the opportunity to watch it yet, or you're going to blitz the whole thing in one evening, as we probably could do but won't, because we want to take our time with it, it's there to be enjoyed. So yeah, Stranger Things, back on Netflix. What else? I finished Dean Nelson's Talk to Me. I mentioned this last week. This is a book subtitled How to Ask Better Questions, Get Better Answers, and Interview Anyone Like a Pro. I absolutely love this book. I say this about a lot of books that I read. I think if you have a conversation with me about books, things that I've finished, things that I've read in the past, more often than not, I will say to you, I absolutely love this book. I'm getting quite selective about things that I read, rather than trying to consume everything. But this book especially was very beneficial to me. I only started reading it last week in readiness for a workshop that I ran on Tuesday this week, because I wanted to find out ways that I could up my game with interviewing. And there was loads of good pointers in this book. Not all of it was brand new information to me, but it's really nice to hear an expert talk about things like setting yourself up for success when you're going to run an interview, and doing the good research before you do an interview, thinking about the questions you want to ask, remembering that it's not about you as a person as well. You are a factor in the success of that interview, but it's not about you. And considering this person who you're going to spend some time with, the impact for them as well, is really important. So Talk to Me, Dean Nelson, it's a great book, and I would recommend it if you're interested in holding better conversations with people. You don't have to be an interviewer, but if you want to hold better conversations and you want to set yourself up for good conversations, I highly recommend Talk to Me. There'll be a link in the show notes to buy that book, and maybe at the end of the season I might run a little competition, give away a copy, because I think it's probably been the most useful book, practical book, that I've read so far this year. And it helped set me up for the workshop that I run on Tuesday. The workshop, which will be the crux of the conversation this week. I wasn't quite sure coming into this episode what I wanted to share with you, kind of the meaty stuff. Last week I did a bit of a business chat about pivoting, you know, and I've previously talked about setting yourself up for success, giving away your time. And this week I thought, because it's still fresh in my mind, I wanted to kind of talk to you a little bit about the workshop that I ran, what I ran it for. I can't tell you who it was for or the client that I was working with, but I can abstract a little, and I wanted to share with you kind of how it went, how I thought it went, and maybe some tips that I've started to lean on to make myself better as a facilitator, and things that I need to remember going forward to help make my sessions better as well. So, something riffing back to Talk to Me, one of the big questions you want to ask yourself going into a workshop is deciding who to interview and why. Something I do as part of my process is I make sure I have a good long-ish conversation with my client, the person who is engaging with me, before we go for a session. If you're listening to this and nodding your head, great. If you're going, yeah, Tom, that's really obvious, even better, you already know. Going into something completely blind, I wouldn't recommend it. I know a lot of people can. Some people can. I can't. I like to be prepared as best I can be. So having a conversation with my client is part of this setup for success. We'll have a consultancy conversation and try and draw out who the focus of the workshop is, what we want to achieve, what the person attending might want to achieve from it. Work out some goals, because doing that gets you set up to focus the session that you're going to plan, or the strategy that you're going to approach this session with. So having that initial conversation is really important. And I did that. The week before the session, I took an hour out with my client. I got them onto Skype. We had a face-to-face conversation. And we bottomed out exactly what we were going to achieve. It was great. I felt good going into the weekend. I felt good going into the strategy and planning session that I held for myself the day before the workshop. Usually, I give myself a little more time, but this was quite a quick turnaround. So the day before the workshop, I was focusing down on activities that I wanted to run. I was using the workshop tactics cards to plan some focused, really focused activities for this session. If I've not spoken about workshop tactics before, that is remiss of me. They are a brand new set of cards. I don't think they're not out yet. I've been privileged to test an alpha version of this deck with the creator. So I use these cards to try and plan my session, find some activities that I wanted to run, work out a line of questioning. I've run discovery sessions before. I've run a lot of discovery sessions before, so I kind of have a format that I like to follow. But having these activities and some descriptions of activities that I can relate to people was really useful. So I set up. I'd got a bit of a strategy in place. I knew the road I wanted to take. I knew where I was coming from, and I knew the goal that I wanted to achieve. The day comes, get into the room, feels good. I always try and have a good long chat with the people who are attending the workshop before we actually start. I like to build up a bit of that rapport with them. You know, it's about getting to know people. You're not going to be best mates before, during, or after, unless you really know the people who are attending the workshop. You're not going to be best mates with them, but it's good to get a little bit of rapport going. And not just kind of be the person standing at the front of the room, waving their arms, asking loads of pointy questions to draw information out. You know, you've got to try and build up a little bit of camaraderie in the room, because it helps people unwind a little before they get in. They get in, because they, you know, if new people coming into a workshop process, they might never have done it before. They might not know what to expect. It's good to get people into the sharing mindset and feeling free to talk in a comfortable environment. Because the last thing you want, and this has happened before, and I'm sure it's happened to some of you as well, is you've got people in the room who don't want to be there, they don't feel comfortable sharing. So you need to warm the room up a little bit before you get started. I find cups of coffee help, it's good, not too much. A bag of Jelly Babies on the table. If you're listening in the States, Jelly Babies are sweets, candy. They are my personal favourite. But having an open bag of those on the table, I find really helps just to kind of get people moving, if nothing else. But here's the thing. With all this preparation and all the strategizing and all the planning, you really can't prepare for what is actually going to happen in the room on the day. I mentioned just there about people who don't want to contribute. Thankfully, this time, everyone was really willing. But I was prepared to go into this session primarily as a one-to-one. I'd scoped my client's needs out. We discussed that we'd be kind of focusing down on one person, be partially interview format, and some kind of low-key exercises and activities with me, with one other person. But I got in the room, and there was a few other people in there that I was aware were probably going to be in there, but it turned out they actually wanted to be much more active in the participation of the workshop than just kind of listening and feeling out the materials we were going to go through. This changed how I felt about the session. I was positive going in, but I have to say, and I want to be completely honest about this, it shook me a little bit, because I wasn't entirely sure how I could think on my feet to turn it around, to go from this kind of focused one-to-one activity set to something more group-based and draw the same information out. Because I knew that there are more voices in the room the timing is going to change. The information that I need to get out is still the same, but the means I'm going to use to get that information is probably going to have to change. There's going to be more conversation. There's hopefully going to be more interaction if there's more people contributing. So I kick off the session, and the whole while I'm having to think, how am I going to reframe what I'm doing? It turns out, despite me not feeling particularly confident about it as I'm doing it, it went well. It went well. Everyone was engaged and everyone contributed. On listening back to the recording I made, there was a lot of good conversation, and actually parts of the session that I missed as I was trying to facilitate, because there were some conversations that happened between the participants which were really, really valuable, but they weren't part of the focused activities and the focused flow of the session. So had I not listened back as intently to kind of see if that information was there, I could have missed that. And in the kind of the bluster of rescoping and flexing in the workshop session, I could have missed something. It's going to happen at some point, but I'm really glad that I recorded it. So it's kind of a big pointer for you. When you're running a session, if you are facilitating, you can't do everything at once. You can't be the note taker. You know, you can't be the person who's helping every group if you've got groups when they've got questions about an activity. So make sure, if you can, record the workshop. I use my iPhone with the voice memos, and I've also got a field recording device. I've got a little Tascam field recorder as well that I set up in the room to capture what's going on. You'll end up with a 3.5 to 4 hour, 5 hour, 6 hour recording that you're going to need to pick through after the fact, but it can really save you bacon. Before you start recording a session, make sure that everyone in the room is aware that you're recording. Some people might not be comfortable being recorded, but it's then for you to kind of express what the recording is for, who's going to have access to it, and what will happen to it after the session's been completed. This is really important for me on Tuesday, because I was dealing with some potentially sensitive information. So I had to reassure the people in the room that the recording wasn't going to be used for anything other than my summarisation of the workshop and the people who I'm working for. If you can get someone to help you take notes, even better. Having that extra opinion and that extra take on what's going on in the room can add a really good dimension to your summary. I say opinion because it is somebody else listening in to what's going on in the room. So they are going to take different parts and maybe put a different inflection on the conversations that are happening. But it gives you the extra viewpoint to help shape what you're going to summarize back to your client at the end of the workshop. As the workshop's rolling on, and I have found this in the past, I may have been a little over-optimistic about the time that we had available. Having more voices in the room inherently means things are going to take longer. If you've got 1 to 2 people contributing thoughts on a particular theme, you can keep that in check. The conversation's going to go back and forth a few times, then you can move on. If you've got 3 to 4 people, 5 to 6 people, hopefully no more for a focused discovery type session, the activities you want to run are going to take longer because people are going to want to talk. They're going to want to throw ideas back and forth. And that can be where the really good insight comes out, because you're not constantly priming them with questions. You're letting the ideas unfold. and you're letting the content unfold as it's going. But you need to be really mindful that if you've only got a fixed window of time, I had 3 hours this time, this was my budget, it was a 3 hour workshop. If you have to cater for more people, you're gonna have to work out new ways to get that valuable information in the same amount of time. You need to make sure that you can find the balance between keeping control of the room for these extra conversations that are happening and working out when to move people on. It's a fine art. You know, I've been doing this for quite a long time. And even I struggle sometimes to work out when something needs to be drawn to a close and when it has reached a natural stopping point. Not being a subject matter expert for a lot of the things which I facilitate means that there's a lot of thinking on your feet and being very active in the conversation, being an active listener, listening to each of the voices and each of the participants to know when you can raise your hand and ask them that it's time to move on. If there's a pause in the conversation and you can kind of get an in, something that I picked up from the team at AJ and Smart from one of their social media videos was asking the question, is there anything else? Because it shows that you are aware they're having a conversation, but that you need to move on. It's almost putting the brakes on saying, is there anything else you want to add to this? And then allowing people to say, no, it's good. And then we can move on. So when you come to run a session, when you want to run a workshop, be really mindful about your time. Be really careful about setting yourself up for success by having good conversations up front with your client, setting the scene, understanding what they want to achieve, and make sure that you plan carefully so that if you need to flex on the plan, because whatever happens in the room, that you can be flexible. Hopefully you won't have to flex too much, like moving from a one-to-one to a group session and changing the format that you need to follow. But being flexible is going to be one of your greatest tools in your workshop toolkit. Record it, make notes, have someone else make notes, and be present in the room. Listen actively. And above all else, make that environment comfortable for people so that they're ready and they are willing to contribute. Because if you can't get people contributing, no amount of planning of great exercises is going to help you. Good luck with running your next workshop. As I do more, I'm going to be sharing on Instagram, on Twitter, probably do some posts as well on my experience as I do more, because I find it really exciting and I find it really good to share the process and the flow and the difficulties to help other people run them better. As I've been mentioning at the end of every podcast, there's a new Patreon open and ready and waiting for some contribution. If you think you could contribute £1, £2, £3 at the cost of a cup of coffee every month, it'll help take this podcast to the next level and it will help maintain the momentum that it's got right now. Going into what will be the second season of this, I'm really hoping I can get some interviews with some great people. And, you know, I'd like to meet them face to face. Skype is good, but I want to buy them a cup of coffee. So if you can contribute the cost of a cup of coffee once a month, That'll help get some great chats going that I can share with you later. So that's patreon.com/TomJepsonCreative. As always, you can find me on Instagram, Tom Jepson Creative. You can find me on Twitter at The Pixel Grid. You can find me online, TomJepsonCreative.work. Go have a great week, do some great work, and I'll catch you next time.